Local fishermen discuss mine development. And Southeast legislators jostle for committee assignments. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mara Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. As Southeast Alaskans become more concerned about mine development in British Columbia, there's a little-known exploratory project near Haines that hasn't gotten much attention around the rest of the region. A Canadian company is exploring copper and zinc deposits at the Palmer Project site. It's several years from becoming a proposed mining project, but the community is already taking sides on the issue. And one group having a hard time forming a consensus on the issue is the commercial fishing fleet in the Northern Lynn Canal. Vancouver-based Constantine Metal Resources has been exploring the Palmer site for several years. In the last 2 years, the company has expanded its efforts, found promising deposits, and joined forces with a Japanese investing company. The site is about 40 miles north of Haines, near the Canadian border, along water sources that drain into the Chilkat River. With recent developments, talk of a future mine at the site has grown around Haines, and that has people staking out their positions on whether a future mining operation would benefit or hurt the community. One of the first groups to tackle that discussion is local fishermen. The Lynn Canal Gillnetters is an organized group that met recently in a closed meeting to discuss its position on the Palmer Project. It did not come to a consensus. Fisherman Norm Hughes was at the meeting.
We were split down the fence, like most issues in Chilkat Valley, whether it's fishermen talking about a specific issue or whether it's community talking about issues. And I'd like to hear more from the mine.
Only about a dozen fishermen showed up, so the group decided it couldn't come up with a position with so few members present. A couple members are going to work to pull the entire group to gauge the different views and opinions. Some fishermen are concerned about a potential mine in the Chilkat watershed. Will Prisciandero belongs to the Lynn Canal Gillnetters and is also the Haines representative on the board for United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters, or USAG. He says fishermen need to watch the project's progression, even if it's not yet in the permitting phase for a mining operation.
I don't believe it's too early to start talking about it. There are not as many permits being applied for right now because the mine is in an exploration phase. It hasn't gone to a developmental phase or mining phase. So it's definitely something we should keep an eye on.
Bill Thomas is a longtime fisherman, and he was also at the recent meeting. He's less concerned about a mine at this stage in the process when there's so few details about what a potential operation would look like.
You know, I says, you know, Chicken Little's still alive. You know, and I says, we can't react to something we don't know about.
He says talk about acidic runoff or tailing dam breaches, like the recent Mount Polly disaster in British Columbia, are not relevant at this stage and only create fear. Alaska and U.S. regulations are not like Canadian mining regulations, he says.
People are trying to compare us with the Canadians. Wrong. Canadians are less stringent on the EPAD restrictions. We're very strict, and I think you should talk to Greens Creek Mine, the Kensington Mine.
Prisciandero says in his opinion, it's not so much about opposing a mine as it is wanting to protect the watershed and salmon for the area's biggest source of income. He said the fishing fleet should emphasize the community's dependence on the industry. Haines has nearly 180 skippers and crew who commercial fish, bringing in an estimated $11.5 million in seafood and about $326,000 in fish tax to the borough in 2012. Prisciandero says if the Palmer Project becomes a mining operation, he wants fishermen to have some input in the design phase so they can advocate for salmon protection.
If we can kind of get the best interest of the fish in the valley to protect them on water quality and any other parameters that might best management practices that the mine could entail up there to limit any impacts if the mine does go forward.
Thomas, meanwhile, says as resource extractors themselves, fishermen should not squeeze out other industries, especially one that is floating the promise of local jobs.
We're resource extractors also, and we don't want to be labeled as against other people to extract what they want, what they think is right. You know, we get to extract salmon. We sometimes over-harvest. Nobody, you know, we're not criticized for it, and they don't meet their escapement goals. And then we end up having more impact on the resource than probably some resource extractors, and whether it's logging or mining or what. So that's why I just sit back and watch us see what happens.
The struggle to either welcome or oppose a new industry isn't new for small communities, says Meredith Pokart. She's the executive director of the local Tokchinik Watershed Council. The council does not have a stance on the Palmer Project, but she says it's a discussion the entire community is going to have at some point if the project keeps developing.
As a community, whenever you're looking at any development potential, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's really important to look at your social, economic, and environmental impacts in both sides of those, positive, negative. What will it actually mean for the community to have this proposed development? And with fish, yeah, it fits all three of those. It's economic and social and definitely environmental.
Prisandero says if Linknell Gillnetters is able to come to an agreement on a stance about the Palmer Project, USAG will also likely weigh in. Other state fishing organizations may also become involved if the local fishing fleet takes a stand either way and asks for support as the project continues to move toward development. Southeast Alaska's representatives in the State House know their committee assignments following the resolution of several close legislative races in the state's general election. A newcomer and an independent from Ketchikan has decided to caucus with the House minority. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Dan Ortez of Ketchikan won a close race as an independent to represent his hometown along with Wrangell and other towns in the southern panhandle. Ortez has decided to caucus with the minority.
No matter which caucus I would be a part of, it's going to be a difficult session, you know, with money, revenue being down, oil prices being down. It's going to be difficult. First of all, to come up with a balanced budget that meets the needs of the state, and I think that's the biggest challenge for a person of either caucus.
With Ortez, the minority caucus in the House now numbers 13 of the 40 House seats. He says he's looking forward to working with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and is encouraged by the election of Governor Walker. Ortez will be serving on the House Fisheries Committee, along with committees on community and regional affairs, transportation, and economic development, trade, and tourism.
I think transportation is an important committee to have input in. It's certainly an important issue in Southeast Alaska and Southern Southeast Alaska, and fisheries, of course, as well. So those two are probably the things I'm most excited about.
Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ-Tompkins joins Ortez on the Fisheries Committee. He'll be starting up his second term representing his hometown and other communities in Central Southeast. He says he's especially excited about the assignments on fisheries and education.
Fisheries and education are two realms of public policy where you've got policy ideas that don't necessarily divide folks on party lines and are a lot more difficult to categorize in really black and white ideological terms. And there's a lot of ideas that you can put forward, at least I'd like to think and believe, that can attract broad support from both sides of the aisle and all different perspectives in both education and fisheries.
Christ-Tompkins has also been tapped for the State Affairs Committee as well as the Rules Committee. He's also excited about the new makeup of the House, with the Democrats gaining two seats and Ortez joining the caucus.
That makes for a more moderate legislature. So when we're talking some of the proposed constitutional amendments, many of which I and other rural legislators have found concerning, those constitutional amendments require supermajorities, and the math becomes a lot more difficult for those amendments to pass with these changes in the elections.
The Democratic pickups in the House boosted the number of seats on some committees for the minority members. As for other Southeast representatives, Democrat Sam Keto III of Juneau has assignments on Labor and Commerce, the Legislative Council, and the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Republican Kathy Munoz of Juneau is caucusing with the House majority, and she'll be the only Southeast representative on the House Finance Committee. Meanwhile, Southeast senators don't yet know all their committee assignments. Democrat Dennis Egan of Juneau is caucusing with the Senate minority, while Republican Bert Stedman of Sitka remains with the majority. Neither is in a top leadership position announced by the majority in November, but should learn their committee assignments sometime in December. With help from Rachel Waldholtz in Sitka in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. We had reports tonight from Joe Vicnicki. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.